Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
So, welcome to the show, and it's Tuesday. This is going out on Mintwave Radio, so you can ask Alexa or go to the website /Mintwave-radio to listen in live and see the rest of the schedule for the rest of the week. If this is on a podcast, again, go and have a look at our podcast networks. Go to the website podcast-network and download the app for Apple and Android and subscribe to any that take your fancy. Today's episode is of 125, and today we have the lovely Donna Lynn Riley, who is a joy coach and a podcast host, and we're going to be talking about the truth to unlocking your potential for lifelong joy. I'm your host, Karen Roberts. We provide a platform for coaches, therapists, healers to get their message heard to the people who actually need to hear it through the radio station and the podcast network. So today, Donna Lynn, thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to be on the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I think it's going to be great.
Awesome. Yeah. So Donna Lynn has been coaching business people to become masters of their communication, their relationships and success for over a decade. Now, coming from a career on Broadway, ooh, impressive, right? To being CEO of a multi-million dollar corporation, her own journey helped her understand and create strategies for managing emotions and surpassing every goal. She has been featured on Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS. Donna Lynn is now on a mission to inspire 42 million women to prioritize their joy and emotional well-being so that they can show up as the best version of themselves. So, Donna Lynn, I mean, that is just such an impressive bio. Would you like to share?
That happens if you could stay around a while.
Oh, come on. So if you'd like to share with the audience, yeah, a little bit about your story before we start talking about the topic of today.
Sure. So, you know, sometimes people get very interested in that piece about Broadway. And so I'll just start. All right. So I was when I was very young, I wanted to be a sound designer. And I have a little bit of a competitive streak. So I didn't just want to be a sound designer anywhere. I wanted to be a sound designer on Broadway. And so I got to do all of that when I was in my teens and 20s. And that was amazing. It was a incredible education. It actually informs my work today, right? Where you see how people are in extreme high performance situations and how they handle their emotions and how they handle their world and what they're kind of matching up with has massive impact on their ability to show up and stay at that very high level. So that was an incredible education for me.
You went straight in at the deep end, right?
I did. In fact, I was thinking about this the other day. There was a moment where I was working on a show on Broadway, and my brother, who's a scenic artist, was working on a show on Broadway, and he's 10 years older than I am. And so he took me out to lunch, you know, big brothers, how they are. They're always looking out for their little sisters. And I was maybe like 18, 19 years old, right? So I was really young to be there. And so he took me out to lunch and he gave me a whole lecture about how I should be really impressed with all of this and I should be really grateful and people work for decades to get here, you know. So it really was that very, very high-end work really, really early in my life. Yeah.
But interesting, as you said, you can then now look back and the skill sets that you learn and the experience you had from that you've brought into what you're doing today. So how did you come to be doing what you do now?
Yeah, so this is a great question. So I was the CEO of this corporation and I was married and my husband went had some health problems and he went to the doctor and they said, you know, you're in deep trouble. You have to have surgery, blah, 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 in his brain and things like this. And he said, no, I'm not doing any of that. Figure out another way. To me, figure out another way. And I was like, oh, okay. So I started in on that research, and that research really led me to this space to understand body, mind, and soul. And that when we get who's in charge out of order, then our bodies don't behave the way we expect them to. Our brains don't behave the way we want them to. And sometimes we can end up with our souls feeling completely unfulfilled. So that what began the journey of the spiritual health coach credential, right? Why I would become a coach in this arena of like the sort of this very ooey gooey space of like, is it spirit? Is it emotion? Is it mind? And what I've come to over decades now is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you call it. It only matters what you do about it. And so whatever your belief system is, it's good. It's fine. We just need to make a few tweaks so that you can understand that when you prioritize certain things over other things, you get better results.
Well, and I do think this is coming about a lot more. I mean, you've been doing it for a long time, right? Have you seen a change in people's perception of how this is? I mean, for years, I think we've been talking about connecting the mind body. And now I think now there's more talk about actually there's still the probably the most important part of it, the spiritual aspect. And I mean, I'm not talking about religion here, but and having that encompassing the whole thing. Have you seen a change in the trend in the last few years?
Yeah. So I feel like people are coming to a space where they want to know more about themselves. And I think that happens the more that our life becomes intense and our world becomes really intense. And certainly over the last 10 years, our world politically and, you know, environmentally and all of the things is getting more and more intense. And so, or has gotten more and more intense. And so I think as we go into these really intense spaces in our lives, we go, how do I do this? And that then we have to get different answers. We have to get deeper answers. And I do think that that has really given birth to a lot of, a lot, much larger group of people saying, what is this emotion? What is this thought? How do I control it? What is spirit? What isn't spirit? How is my body involved? And there are incredible leaders helping us with this now, right? So people who are in my position where they're coaching or they're meditation leaders or they've been in all different sectors, right? Where they're saying, hey, this is worth paying attention to and kind of getting it in the right order. And then how you respond to the world changes everything.
Mm. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, that they've, you know, some societies have had things like meditation. This has been around. It's nothing new. This is nothing new. They knew about this thousands of years ago, and it feels like we're only just, catching up. And real, because I suppose it's an intangible, isn't it? It's not something we're so conditioned to. We need to see the physical proof and we need the scientific proof. And up till more recently, it wasn't there. It wasn't seen as very important, or that it doesn't really have that much of an impact on your life. But I do think things are changing now, but we're a little bit behind, aren't we?
Well, you know, that's the thing that I love most about the world is that there is so much variety and there are so many choices. This came to me when I was very young. I always had an interest in herbs and spices and like, how do we impact our bodies with the things that we put in it, things like that. And one day I remember looking at my spice rack thinking, oh, I could use this or I could use this. And they do the same thing in the body. They help the body do the same thing. They're from completely different parts of the world and they taste completely differently, but they help the body in the same way. And one thing I really realized is that we have everything we need no matter where we are or what our circumstances are. And the second thing that I realized about it is that the variety in our world is endless. It is so, you can have what you want. You can be who you want. You don't have to, if you're an extremely scientific person and you want to be living a good life, you don't have to give up your whole way of looking at the world. But those small tweaks of saying, okay, I do want to make some changes. And these are the ways in which I want to be living my life. I want to have more happiness in it. I want to have more ease in my relationships. You know, whatever those things are that are niggling at you, you can have them, whether you are somebody who needs all the proof or you're somebody who runs off to India and has spiritual awakenings every other minute, right?
Yeah. I mean, with regards to, when you talk about, you know, people who are going down more, you know, the scientific route and need sort of that proof, do you think that it has helped that we do seem to be bringing the two sides together now? You know,
yes,
the science is proving, you know, quantum physics, or the fact that how we think and feel does have a physiological effect in the body. You know, they're, you know, you're releasing hormones through the power of thought. So do you see that change that is sort of drip feeding down to the mainstream?
Yes, yes. So this is thanks to those people who wouldn't settle with just, it works, trust me, right? So I think that it's incredible that we have these ways of looking at it and go like, oh, look, we saw it in a petri dish, you know, or we saw it in a study. And it's a great way to kind of have new understandings and have sometimes more in-depth understandings. You know, I'm born in the U.S., and I am kind of American in my core, right? I'm sort of hyper independent, and I want to be in the world in this way that is all things, you know. So I feel like those ways that we look at it and say, hey, look, we have a study that tells us that if we have five times as many happy thoughts or positive thoughts than negative thoughts, then our whole world changes. Hey, that's an incredible thing to know. And we wouldn't have known that. Maybe people who have a cultural reference for that would, but certainly in my end of the world, you know, there would be no way to know. You might say, oh, well, as long as you have as many positive thoughts as negative thoughts, that's probably good. And now we have data, right? So it's incredible. Mm. Yeah. And we can structure our lives around that data. Right. So we can say, hey, how do I do that?
Yeah. I mean, so for some people, they've, like you say, they've always known this. And I suppose the only way to really know it is yourself. You know, you are your own proof. But maybe it's because we have been, you know, obviously depending on where you are in the world, but I'm sure over here we're not far, you know, not any different to you guys over there. But we've been almost conditioned to believe that, you know, you've got to work hard to earn your money. Got, you know, happiness is a could be a byproduct, but it's not the important part. But now, yeah, actually, we realize that no, it has a massive impact.
Yeah,
because
yeah, we got it on its tipped on its other end, didn't we? Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right. And when you start to really focus in this direction, you can see all throughout your life, other people and even in your own, you know, story that's going on, that those times when you go like, I'm just gonna go and get it done, I'm tired of waiting for everybody, it really doesn't work out nearly as well for multiple reasons, right? Not just because the work doesn't come out as good, but also because nobody's on your train with you. You know, and when you choose to be the worker bee and that you're just going to push as hard as you can, and that's how you're going to get there, then you didn't take anybody with you. And so, or maybe you only took half the amount of people you could have with you, right? And so the more we interact with people, so that first piece really is to get solid in ourselves. And that's, I'm going to talk about that in a second, because the second piece is, particularly on an entrepreneurial track, right, is to really be able to talk about things in a way that makes people want to be a part of it. So they see it. They go, oh, I understand what you're trying to do, and I want to be a part of it. And maybe that means I want to work for you, or maybe it means I want to tell people about you, or maybe it means I just want to be in your group, right? But that the more we can enlist other people in our thoughts, in our train, right, in our movie, then we get to really be more impactful. And that first piece is where most people go wrong, right? That part about really solidifying the message, taking the time to bring it internally, to understand what's going on inside of you, to bring it into language, which is another step more solidified than thought, right? And to have it so solidly that you can walk into a room of people who believe the opposite of you and not get talked into that way of thinking, right? Not lose track of that thought. Yeah.
Right. So it's all about communication. So with what you do, so with your coaching, who's your ideal client? Who do you love working with the most?
Yeah, so I love working with people who are entrepreneurs and business owners and in the corporate world. I love working with them because I've been on all of those tracks, right? So I know a lot about what that feels like. Of course, I don't know exactly what you personally are going through, but I have some reference for all of that. So I love that. And I also love working with people in those positions who are reaching for more. They want their life to be different, right? Maybe they're a little dissatisfied. Maybe they're a little frustrated. And they've said to themselves, I believe, or I want to believe, that my life can be better than it is now. And that could be from not so good to really good, or it can be from really good to on fire, right? And so those are great people for me to work with.
Right. So you're removing that glass ceiling that I suppose we all in a sort of way put up ourselves. Right. So it's about smashing through that. So when we're talking about being happy and how to live a life of joy. So what are you talking about specifically here?
Okay. So there are really a few steps to how you are going to do this. There are things that we need to do in order to get there. So the first thing that we need to do is to understand that our bodies are involved, right? And to stop saying it's all in my head and to start believing what's in your head, right? Start understanding that I'm going to take this seriously, whatever this thing is that seems woo-woo to me, and I'm going to work with it. I'm going to guide it. I'm going to be a part of it. And I'm going to decide if I want more of it or less of it in my life. And then to take that the next step, to understand that your body is, as you said earlier, making chemicals, hormones in the body that support those thoughts. So if you have been depressed for 10 years and you're like, I want to be happy, then getting from really depressed to really happy, I want to be blissful, your body's not ready for it. It's not ready for it at all. It's actually, I talk to people as if it's laid out on, emotions are laid out on a map. And I actually have a whole map that people can take the quiz and get the map and everything. And it really is helpful because when you think of a big map, we all drive places. So we all can imagine that there are towns over here and towns over there. And we can really think about how if anger is a town, it's over here. If frustration is a town, it's close to anger. I could drive there in a day. It won't be hard. And that joy, blissfulness are in a position where you're going to have to maybe drive through contentment, maybe drive through satisfaction, maybe drive through laughter before you get to those states that you want to be in a long-term situation. So in order to help your body to get from one place to the other place, you really have to do what I call emotional entrainment. So you have to teach your body how to do it. And that is a lot of the work that I do with people. And then another piece of that that puzzle is that we do have to sweep away the past a little bit, right? So staying super present and super intentional in this moment is how we get places. But occasionally we have some subliminal programming running and we end up in a, we're like, how did I get over here? How come I'm back in irritation? I'm not even really irritated with that person, but boy, do I feel irritated, right? How did I end up there? And so sometimes we have to work a little bit with the past in order to do that.
We've got to let it go. But again, I suppose it is down to the programming. That connection. It's what we know. And I suppose many people, everything in our society these days, it's all about instant gratification. We want it now. We want to go from there to there now. And then we put, I suppose, too much pressure on ourselves because, like you say, it's a journey. It's not things, maybe they could for some people, maybe they could happen overnight. But in general, like you said, getting used to it. And then I suppose if it doesn't, they can very easily slip back over there and the poor me again, because it didn't work. Whereas I suppose what I'm hearing from what you're saying is to be a little bit kinder to yourself and do it in stages.
Yeah.
Going on a journey. I love that analogy.
Well, I think that I think that it does take time. And I think that a lot of times people try to make that leap. And when you make the leap, you end up in, on a roller coaster, right? So you're up and then you're down and then you're up and then you're down. Or what I like to call Boing's Backville, right? So you kind of keep boinging back. You're like, oh, I'm going to get back happy again, even though my life doesn't support it and my body doesn't support it. I'm going to try to get there. And then you wonder why you can't sustain it. And I think that wondering why you can't sustain it is really a lot of the work that I do, is how do we make a life and a body that can sustain what our spirit would like to experience in the world, what we'd like our thoughts to be, how we want to interact with people. And so that kind of, and truthfully, I came, so one of my mentors is a spiritual guide in India, and I've known him for 20 years or more. And he's incredible. He's incredible, and he's tapped into that network we were talking about, where there are a lot of, they're just assumed things, right? They're just living in a different world than we are because they've had it their whole lives. They know this spiritual structure. And when I have worked, there was a time when I worked with him and we were doing something very specific and what Americans would call an exercise. And all of a sudden, I had this wave of feeling just wonderful, right? And what he said to me was, that is your joy, and it is there for you always. All you have to do is learn how to access it. And it was I wasn't jumping up and down, right? I wasn't running around the place going, I'm gonna get happy, right? It's in the stillness. It's in the space that is our inner selves. Yeah.
I love that, the stillness. I mean, I suppose that's coming back to this practicing being in the present moment, which so many of us, until maybe we've been shown it or been made aware of what we're doing, otherwise we are, you know, the natural instinct is to be living in the past continuously, going over past conversations, going over things. And then, you know, the crazier thing is worrying about a future, well, just total using your imagination, how something, because it hasn't even happened yet. But it's, you know, like we all do it. And I'm I'm working on it, right? It's a journey. I'm still working. But it's just funny that when you can step back and look at it, it actually is crazy, really, to think. It's like, why are we wired like this? It's why are we worrying about something that hasn't happened yet? Because it's the now at the moment. What a waste of energy and how exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is all of those things. And I think you bring up such an important point when you say, why are we like that? And there's two things about that. One is there's an answer, and it isn't about 2023, right? It's about, you know, a thousand or 5,000 years ago, a long time ago, when we were running from bears and, you know, people like that. And also that why is not always the right question, right? So a lot of times we get caught up in this, like, why do I always do that? Why do I always end up back here, right? And we're searching for the thing that we did wrong. But unless we're practicing the thing that we want to do right, then we're gonna just keep doing something wrong. It may be the same thing next time. It may be a different thing. We don't know, right? But when we take all that time and energy that we're spending in the past and in the future, and we say, hey, I'm willing to bring all of you into this moment, and I'm willing to stay here as much as possible, then when people ask you to, do you remember where I put the paper clips, right? Or so simple, really simple to go into the past. Or do you remember that time when we went on that trip, right? Then you can go and you can come back and you have control over that, as opposed to getting lost in that thought, where a lot of times people will say, remember that trip we took, blah, blah, blah. And you go, yeah. And then for the next 4 hours, you start thinking about that thing that somebody said to you 4 days after that, when, and you were so mad at them. And why, first of all, why didn't I apologize? Second of all, I should talk to them about that, right? And now you're in a whole other emotional state. So if you can gain control of your ability to go into the past, to get information, to visit a beautiful memory without getting lost in all the other memories, and then come back to this moment, that is an amazing thing that I feel like maybe only humans can do. I don't know if science has proved that, but being in other, thinking about other time periods doesn't seem to be something that my cats do, right?
No.
So we should really enjoy that, but we can only enjoy it when we know how to work the mechanism, when we can control it.
Right.
And the same is true of our future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just it's really something that can be useful, and like you say, you know, it's useful when you're trying to look for things. You know, I don't always lose my keys. It's not true. I can find them whenever I need them. So we need them for certain things. So it's really like we seem to have these amazing tools at our disposal that we can. And that we can even imagine a future. But unfortunately, many people seem to be using it in a negative way because they don't seem to be doing it as often in the positive way and really believing it. I suppose that would serve us better, maybe. But like you say, just that whole practicing being in the now, which we've somehow sort of, as a society, almost become disconnected from that and just dip in and use it as a tool. So use it as a tool rather than it controlling us.
That's right. That's right. And also, I do want to say something about that going into the future of disaster that we do, where we anticipate the worst case scenario. You know, that's a mechanism that our bodies have so that we can stay alive. Right. So celebrate that. Right. Don't say like, I'm never doing that again, because that is a dumb thing to do. No, it is a great thing to do under certain circumstances. And again, when you gain some control, when you're able to have practiced enough things in your emotional toolbox, in your mental toolbox, then what happens is your spirit is allowed to guide you. Right. That part of you that we can't quite define is allowed to make some decisions and say, hey, let's really believe that we're going to get that job, right? Let's, that would serve us in this moment. Or let's really believe that that snake is really going to bite us. And it would really serve us in this moment to walk away, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's really an important thing to know, that we're not trying to become positive people 100% of the time. We're trying to become people who are living full lives and who have choices, right? Because that's the fun of being here on the planet, is that having a joyful life, the way that I define it, is really not having a life that only has joy in it. It's having a life where your set point or your hometown, right, is happiness, it's joy, it's fun, so that when things happen, when people in your life die, right, and you have to walk through that valley, when you lose your job or your identity, you no longer feel called to do the work that you've done, or your children leave your home, right? They've grown, it's time for them to go, and your purpose is different now. And you have to make that shift, right? That you have the control to do that. You have choices along the way. And when it comes time to go home at night, you get to go home to that happy spot and go to bed there instead of living in grief, right? Instead of living in worry. You're going to have those. You're absolutely going to have those, because that's what it is to be on the planet.
Yeah, I suppose it's, and this maybe comes from misinterpreting the sort of self-development arena that, oh, we've got to be positive all the time. It's not real. It's not being true to yourself, and your subconscious knows it, I suppose. So it's not going to be serving us. But I love that way of thinking that, yeah, if you're not going to have the lows, you're never going to appreciate the highs. And it's, you know, we're human, you know, we things happen that we have no control over. So yeah, so you're teaching people to have the tools that so that they can, yeah, get to go home of an evening rather than staying in some unsavory places.
Exactly. I got my seedy hotel in Sadsville, you know.
Yeah. No, nobody wants to stay there. You can drive through. You can have a little look.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give you an example from my own life. I not quite 2 years ago, my husband got sick and passed away, really fast. And it was a intense journey. There was a lot of, you know, trying to figure out what to do next, and hope, and then dashed hopes, and then another medical condition, and what is happening, right? So there's a lot of activity and confusion, and there could have been a lot of worry, right? And I can remember there was a moment where, at this point, he had just been in a wheelchair, and everything happened so fast that it was like, you know, one day he was one way and then the next day he was in a totally different situation. And my brother said to me, same brother, I only have one, said to me, I don't know how you can do this. I couldn't do what you're doing. I couldn't be moving forward and not anticipating a bad future, is really what he was saying to me. And my goals during that time with my own self, right? My self-talk was, I am going to stay present in this moment. No matter how much everybody wants me to be in the future, anticipating some outcome. And some people, it's a medical outcome that they want you to be realistic about. And some people, it's a we don't want you to get hurt, so we're going to have you be hurt now moment, right? And it doesn't matter. My entire focus was to stay absolutely present. And those moments when I did go into a future, to make sure that that really did not serve me, right? That where I was like, oh my goodness, maybe something really is happening here. That what road are we on, right? That I reached out to the people in my life that I knew I could count on to bring me back to a place of presence and positive expectation, right? Mm. So I didn't talk to a lot of people who are in my life, who I love very much, but I didn't talk to them because I couldn't count on them. I couldn't be positive that what they were going to say is all things are possible. Keep walking forward. See where this leads. You're not in it alone, right? And then I could bring myself back into the moment and say, yeah, you're right. I could be present in this moment. I could enjoy the driving to the medical things, and I could enjoy being with this person, whether he's here tomorrow or not here tomorrow, right? Whether we're sitting on the beach drinking Mai Tais in 10 years or we're, you know, separate and he's in a non-physical state and I'm here, right? Mm. Which is, in fact, what happened, right? So but during that time period, I wore this T-shirt that said, just after he died, I wore this T-shirt almost every day. It said, best day ever. And people were like, what is wrong? The widow is wearing a best day ever shirt. This
Yeah, right. Like you should be suffering. It's almost, isn't it? It's like, yeah, you should be. But isn't that bizarre? It's and I get it. They're only doing I suppose people almost say things because they feel that they're expected to say those things. And but yeah, when you look at it like that, was it serving you? You can't control what happened.
No.
So
it wasn't up to me.
It's not serving you by going down that route. I mean, that's, you know, I can't imagine that you would have got to that place without having had those tools in your toolbox for quite a long time, right. And practicing them in, you know, when things weren't quite that kind of situation. So I bet you're incredibly grateful that you did have those tools in your, so it helped you deal with it.
Yeah, that's right. If I didn't, and that's really what came to me, is that this is why my work really, my calling, what I feel like is the absolute right thing for me to do in this time period, is to help people to find joy and focus on joy and bring that into their lives. And it is exactly for that reason, right? That season that I went through, that's exactly what I realized, is that I could not have walked through this, and in a way where I even wanted to reach for feeling better. I had willingness to feel better. And many, many, many people, when you live in sort of a mildly satisfied, sometimes hopeful state, you don't want to feel better. You want to feel bad for a really long time, right? And so the fact that I had practiced, I had been in this state, I had prioritized a good life, a life that I wanted, being able to choose. I had prioritized practicing with my body, mind, and spirit, those places that I want to go emotionally. Those were the setup for my ability to walk through what I truly hope is the darkest point in my life, right? Mm. I don't ever want it to be worse than that.
No.
And to walk through it in a way where less than a year later, I started a podcast. 6 months after he passed away, I started a meetup group where I felt like I was able to talk to people about how to do that, right? Most of the time, people sit in that feeling for a very long time. And that first piece is willingness. It's like, I am willing to not feel crappy all the time.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, where do you think that all comes from? It's almost like, people feel like you should be. Like, you know, because things happen. I mean, I'm blessed. My children are healthy. Other people go through horrendous things. What are they supposed to do? Stay in that woe is me state? That's not serving them, is it? What a miserable existence. I suppose the most difficult thing maybe is the total acceptance.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you know, a friend of mine, I hate that saying. It is what it is. It is, it's not a negative statement. It is what it is. When we have to find a way to accept. If you could have done something about it, you'd do something about it. But when it's out of our control, when it's out of our control, there is no other option.
That's That's right.
Unless you do want to live in, you know, if you choose to live in misery, then, but how is that serving
many
anybody?
People don't find themselves, you know, they can't go through that portal of change, right? And I really do think that when there are, I want to go back a second. Nice stuttering, right? I want to go back a second and just talk about why do people do that? Why do people say it's okay to be sad when you're like, okay, but this was the moment I was trying to be happy because I really have been sad a lot. It's about them, two things, wanting to make a safe space for you because they love you, even though it may not feel good to you what they're trying to do for you. And two, they're imagining what it would be like. That same thing we talked about earlier that keeps us from getting eaten from alligators is what happens, right? They go like, my, if my husband died, I would feel X, Y, and Z. And so you must feel X, Y, and Z. And I want you not to feel that. So I'm going to have you talk about it, which is the opposite of how we heal, but it's what we've been taught. It's what we've been taught.
It's from a place of wanting to help, but we haven't. So they haven't been given the tools that you could give them.
That's right. It is. It is. And a lot of times, you know, I did this whole course with grieving, and it's available on recordings and things like this. But it really is that process where if the person who's, if you in your life, no matter what's going on, when you change, when you do the internal work, then what people say to you doesn't necessarily hold the same meaning. So they can say things to you that are not useful. They're not helpful. You're not going in the right direction. You're like, oh, wow, I don't want to be sad. Or I've had many, many people who've been in grief who've said to me, nobody said anything to me about I'm allowed to be sad, right? And that's what I was waiting for, right? So matching up with those moments is what, that's internal work, right? Being able to find the moments with the people around you and to allow them in and to have willingness to either have the vulnerability with the person or make it through a family gathering without having to talk about it and know how to manage that both internally and externally. What do I say when I get the invite? How do I address this with people? Do I teach them? Do I not teach them, right? Who are they in my life? And how do I make it through? I know this one's going to say this. So what am I going to do about this in advance so that I don't have to go through that pain?
Right. So it takes prep. Yeah, a lot of tools. And I suppose like what you said there about it is all about doing the inner work, which I suppose, again, people might want that end result, but they don't want to have to do anything to get there. But there's still work to be done, right? The inner work takes work. It takes practice, takes time, takes intentional focus to work on these things. But do you think it's that people don't totally understand that part of it? They would like to have been able to deal with it like you, but are they prepared? They don't realize that there was a lot of work involved, a lot of inner work involved to get there.
Culturally, we don't have the support, right, in the Western world that says prioritize your emotions, prioritize your spiritual life, prioritize noticing your thoughts, bring awareness to your body, right? We don't have, this is just not a part of our culture. And so we haven't been taught that from childhood. And, you know, we know from science that what we learn from 0 years old to 6 or 7 years old is the subconscious programming that we get, right? So here we are, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, with our subconscious programming running. And we've done nothing to rewire it. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't rewire it. It means that we're little sponges when we're little, right? And it's easy. It's whatever comes in, it's a one-way valve. It's only going in, right? And then as we grow older, if we're willing to work with our brainwave patterns, if we're willing to work with how our bodies feel and how our minds are, what our minds are doing, We can certainly get into brainwave states that allow us to write new programs there. We can certainly do some entrainment with other places in our bodies that have neurons where we can impact our bodies in a really massive way, like our heart, right? Our heart has a whole collection of neurons that's very similar to a brain. And if we're willing to find the right ways to work with those things, then we can rewrite those subconscious programming without having to, you know, die and be reincarnated, if you believe in that.
We can have it all now if we choose to get into balance.
Yeah.
So for any of the listeners, if they can't see your links and everything underneath, how would they get in touch with you and what is it that you specifically offer to them?
Right. So the first thing that I would have them do is to go to a website called roadmaptomorejoy.com. And at that website, you're just going to find a quiz. It's a 2-minute quiz. It has 11 questions. It's kind of fun. It's got pictures. It's sort of fun. and go through that process. And once you've done your 2 minutes, what happens at the end of it is you get an email and you get a page that talks to you about maybe where you are, right? Maybe these are the things that you're feeling and where you kind of live, which town you live in, right? Huh. on that map. And then what you can do to get from where you are to a better place and a better place and a better place. And so that's the first thing I would have them do. And if you're just looking for more information about me or you want to kind of learn more about the general concepts that I've been talking about here, you can certainly do that at donnalynn.blog is my main website, and all the social networks. So it's at Donna Lynn Riley on Facebook, at donnalynn.riley on Instagram. And I think I even have a little tiny TikTok now.
Go so, you. I think I've got an account.
I love TikTok.
I've not done anything yet. My daughter is, actually both daughters. Actually, my eldest daughter has got about 12,000 viewers on her TikTok.
That's so amazing.
She's just doing absolutely, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'd love my clients to have that many. How would we be doing it?
That. It's so good. I have to say, I haven't produced much content for it, but I watch other people's content.
And yeah, I haven't done it.
I am somebody who, and maybe it's a little odd, but I love algorithms. And the reason is you can train them, right? So I remember one time there was something politically going on and I have cousins who are into this and I started reading their posts and spending a long time and sort of making a comment. And I did this for maybe a day. It really wasn't very long. And my whole feed got completely messed up. And I thought, I did that.
Yes.
And I'm going to go undo that. And I spent 15 minutes going through and finding things that I would want on my feed. And life is like that, right? It's the exact same algorithm almost, right?
Is
that
it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is. So, whatever we are putting out there, the universe is just showing us more of that. Or that's what we're seeing because
Where we put our attention is where we're going to have our energy. So if we're focused on all the things that are going wrong or could go wrong, that it has our life force. We gave it to that thought. We voluntarily gave up our life force to a negative expectation. Mm. And whether it's true or not, wouldn't you feel better to expect something better? And then only feel bad at that last moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And then that's empowering because it just realizes, like you realize you'd done that doing all those comments so that you could go back and change it. But if everybody realized that they can do exactly the same themselves rather than, well, if it's out of my hands, I've got no control. It's a far, far better alternative.
Yeah. 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 And it's as simple as when you're washing the dishes, you know, I mean, it's really, you don't have to, you know, give up your life and go live in an ashram, right? You have to, you have to know that we can live whatever life we want, right? We can live a high powered life. We can live a at home with my kids life. We can live whatever life we want, and we can still live in the state that allows us to have joy during it.
So your final top tips for with regarding to unlocking your potential for lifelong joy.
Okay, so first thing I would say is be aware of your thoughts and your feelings. And when you feel not good, right? What I call below the line, which means your body is in a stress response. Or above the line, which means your body is in a healing response, right? I feel peaceful. I feel loving. I feel caring. Those are all places where your body can do something different. So if you find yourself in those below the line kind of feelings and thoughts, and you're finding yourself in the like blame game and all of the things that we do, guilt, shame, worry, fine. Accept yourself. Say, okay, that's where I am right now. Would I like to go someplace better? And am I willing to do it? And then make that adjustment. And 2 minutes later, when you find yourself back on that thought, don't abuse yourself over it. Go, oh, look, I ended up back on that same thought. I'm going to go someplace else now. And you're going to walk through some rooms and you might end up back there again, right? 20 minutes later, or you might not. You might be able to walk away from it. So really work with yourself. And like I say, do it in your, in those down moments where you're not talking to anybody. You're maybe doing some chore or you're, you know, having a moment. You're watching television, but you're not really paying attention, right? In those moments, decide, what could I do with this moment to feel even better than I feel right now? It's a great start.
Great advice. So it is this... Awareness is, I suppose, is always step one for all sorts of things, isn't it? If we're not fully aware, fully conscious, because otherwise we are just reacting to everything that comes our way as an automated response. And that's not necessarily, that could serve us in certain situations, depends, doesn't it? But more often than not, it's not necessarily.
I call it, I actually have a system for it. I call it AHIP. So awareness, that's first. We can all do that, right? And then heal, be intentional, and practice our future that we want. Practice our emotions that we want. So those are the, that's the little system that can get you there every time. And you don't really, even though it's at the beginning of the word, you don't really have to start with healing. Start with being intentional.
Mm, love that. Mm. It's. I think if everybody realized how much power they have, because they don't necessarily see it, but they all have the power within to change things. And oh, I just wish more people sort of really took that on board. And I love this word in being intentional, just being intentional about, yeah, how you are, where you want to go. I love your analogy about the different towns. Like, where do you want to go next? I don't like this town.
Yeah.
Move.
That's right.
You
That's
don't
right.
have to stay there. Don't right. lay down roots.
That's right. And the more we practice it, the more, I had somebody say to me the other day, oh yes, there's a lot of detail in my frustration town. And I was like, yeah, you spend a lot of time there. She said, yes, I have really fleshed it out. You know, I really like, I built buildings, I've got neighbors, you know, I don't want to live here anymore. What do I do? Mm. Right.
Right. And yeah. having that knowledge that you can just simply get in a car and pull away and go to another town. Yeah. Doesn't matter. How, it could be just the next one over.
Yeah.
For a stopover. Yeah. Just plan your route. Plan your route. Love it.
Yeah. And Love don't it. Be afraid. You can always visit. You don't have to say goodbye to those frustrating friends ever again if you want to. You can go back to sad friends and you can visit them And you can visit
just frustrated friends.
Just
don't stay there very long.
Right? But you don't have to stay with them.
Yeah.
You might not even miss
them. Timer. Yeah.
But you might. You might. So go visit them. It's fine. And then go back to your hometown. Right. Yeah.
There you go. Great advice. And it just, yeah, it takes practice. It takes, yeah. I mean, I'm not totally there yet. I have to be intentional about it because, again, like anything, I can get complacent with it all and then I can find myself in a town that I really shouldn't be in.
How did I end up here?
Yeah, hang on a minute. I thought I'd left this one a long time ago. What am I doing back?
Yeah. And I think that you bring up such an important point with that is just to not worry about it. To just go like, oh, I am here. What am I going to do about it? And not to worry about how did I end up here and why did I choose this? And
what did I do wrong to be here?
Maybe my subconscious programming is still there and I've got to go back to do theta work. And, you know, just make a choice in that moment. Just keep it simple, right? Just decide, am I willing to feel better at this moment? And then work on that.
Right. And not take it. So I love your way about it because it's what it feels like to me is that, yes, guys, stop taking it so seriously. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. We're all human. We all do things that we don't even know why we've done it. All okay. It's all okay.
Yeah.
Stop beating yourself up about it and just go, oh, yeah. Silly me.
Yeah. And we're here for all of it, right? We're not here just to be happy. We're here for all of it. I would not trade those 2 years for anything, right? And in the beginning, I thought, maybe I could imagine a reality where he didn't leave. He didn't go into this non-physical state where I can't really access him very easily. And he does not do the housework in the way that I want him to and all of the things, right? But I wouldn't trade this journey, right? Because this is a full journey that I'm having. It has a lot to it. It's kind of like the introduction that you had. I have had the opportunity to get to work at the top of multiple fields, right? I would not trade that for anything. It's been a very full life. And that's how we get there. We get to appreciate the down moments just as much as the up moments when we live in a town that allows us to be willing, to be peaceful, to be motivated, to be able to move forward, to get momentum in a direction, all of those things.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant outlook. And you can see that you're in a good place and it is all, but it is all down to the work that you've done. You didn't just suddenly end up in that town, did you? You could have ended up in a couple of different towns, but you chose and you worked on the journey. You worked on the journey. And that is what everybody has the ability to do if they choose to. Love what you're doing.
Thank you.
It's lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today. So just one more time to the listeners to reach out. The name of your
website. Has everything
Donnelly.blog.
Donnelly.blog.
Fantastic.
Has everything on it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And to the rest of you guys, I will be back on Thursday with a Coffee with Karen. So bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.